Welcome back to Between Takes with Output Entertainment. I'm Aiden Driscoll.
And I'm Olivia O'Neill.
And today we're both kind of tired, and we're doing our best to record an episode where we talk about a rainy day in New York.
Yeah, that's pretty much the entirety of the episode, New York, the rainy day, New York movie.
We rambled on a couple other things, but be your darndest to enjoy this week's episode of Between Takes. Okay. Liv, plays a song.
Okay, now guess this tune. Don't look at my fingers, though.
Is it Not Let Her Go?
Tricked ya. Now guess this tune.
Is that Let Her Go in a different key?
Wow. You're an amazing musician.
I'm a true bard.
What about this one?
Is that little jingle?
Do you only know it because of the rhythm?
No, it's because it's...
What about this? It's pretty obvious.
Oh. What is it?
I feel like this chord should really give it away.
I mean, it's a G. A lot of songs have a G chord.
Think of the rhythm now.
Are you strumming along to lyrics you're doing? Okay. How are you doing, Liv?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Doing pretty good. You're kind of tired today.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Sundays.
Yeah.
We had a really great week. Mm-hmm. We got to perform a couple times.
Pretty busy.
And
we performed. Should we tell the story?
I don't know what the story is.
We performed for absolutely no one for 2 hours.
Yeah. An hour and a half.
Yeah, we cut it. Early.
Yeah. Aiden was very persistent of like, no.
I just felt weird because like we couldn't like sneak out. They would just see us. I mean, it was just us and the baristas.
I think it was kind of this hidden coffee shop in Tennessee, but it was also part of like a wedding venue. I think
like it was a really cool
like there's like the manor and like this outdoor barn. Like I think it was like a wedding venue. So, but we didn't know that because they have these coffee places in a couple areas around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really beautiful like place. The acoustics were really great.
It was really
and
nice.
It sounded really good. But yeah, I think it's one of those places you never know. I guess we should have, that's something to add to like our questions when we reach out to venues is like, how many people on average come in at 6 to 8 p.m. on this coffee shop?
Right.
Do we need to bring our audience?
This coffee shop is kind of out of the way.
I think finding a way that we can be like, are we in charge of the audience, bringing the audience, or is there going to be one there? So, yeah. But that was okay. We played for the baristas and, like, two families that came in. But people seem to like us, so it's cool. We've been getting a lot of, I don't know if this is important or not, but a lot of, like, kind of looks, like, confused, and then you guys are pretty good. I'm like, yeah.
You're just interested, like, why does it start with this confused, quizzical look?
But then I was thinking, I was actually talking to my mom about it because I was like, it's just kind of funny. But we were wondering if maybe like these types of places normally have like an acoustic guitar and like very singer songwritery like person in the background, where we had like full on arrangements, we have like bass and guitar and like Evan like built and dynamic in
and
our
it's
songs
almost all original and
all that stuff. Yeah. So I think maybe that's part of it. It's like, oh. This is like like we almost don't belong in some way.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. But I think it's also great places for us to learn and meet people. We've gotten to be able to meet a couple people, more people recently, and like have like relationships now with them, which is
cool.
Really cool.
We have friends, which is fun.
Kind of. So that's kind of our.
Here's a little fun fact for you.
Let's hear it.
That it blew my mind a little bit. So, Attaboy, you know the band Attaboy.
I do.
Their song Walden Pond is one of the most beautiful songs. She has such a gorgeous voice. And anyway, I found a video of them playing Walden Pond live.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed you that. And I was like, oh, this is really, really cool. She has such a cool voice. And I just like, because when I first found them, I was like looking for them on social media and stuff. And all I could find was the one album. And that was about it. And then like some Facebook posts from back in like 2013 or something like that. So I was like, okay, cool. I'm not sure if they're still a band because they seem to have been inactive for a long time. They put out an album this last year or the year before. And so they become more active and stuff. So just the other day I was like, oh, I should like follow them on Instagram and whatnot. And I go there and I see, and I find out that the name of the singer is Eden Brolin. And I'm like, I wonder if by any chance she's related to Josh Brolin.
Who's and Josh Brolin?
He plays Thanos in Avengers. Oh, yeah. And she is. She's the daughter of Thanos.
Are you for real?
The daughter of Thanos is not Gamora and Nebula, but the woman who sings Walden Pond.
That's kind of random.
Yeah. I was a little bit shocked.
That's really shocking.
I blew my mind a little bit.
Well, I don't know who Thanos, what he actually looks like.
Yeah, I don't either, really. I know he's in No Country for Old Men. I think he's the main guy.
Huh. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is, like, mind-blowing.
It was pretty small crazy. World. Yeah. Very small world. Also, other story. I was at Aldi a week or two ago, and I was putting my cart back. Never mind. The story isn't even that good.
Are you for real?
Yeah. So I was putting my cart back and, you know, like the quarter thing, right? Yeah. So I was like walking back. I was still in the parking lot and this lady was like just getting out of her car and she was like, do I'm going to give you a quarter? And what she meant was like, hey, is it okay if I take that cart from you and here's a quarter? And then we could have like, I didn't have to walk all the way back and she didn't have to walk all the way to get the cart.
Yeah.
Could have saved us both some time. And I was like, oh, no, thanks. I already got one. I kept walking and in my head I was like, doesn't she know how this works? Like, I can't have the cart unless I already have a quarter in it. And I thought a second later and I went, oh, she wanted to give me a quarter so that we could have both saved each other some time.
Yeah.
And then I was about to turn and be like, oh, I understand what you meant. Yeah. But then I was like, that seems kind of weird. But then I second guessed myself again and was like, nah, I'm going to do that. So I turn and she turned the corner and she went to the other little like corral thing for the carts because she probably felt awkward of like, uh-oh, that moron doesn't get it. I want to steer clear of him.
That's so funny. That's a humbling experience.
It was. For sure. It was for sure. So yeah, that's that funny story. So today will probably be a bit of a shorter episode unless we really get going. But today we're going to talk about, give you our full body review of the new, I just want to double check the information. Today we are going to give our full review of the 2019, what's the name of the director?
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen film. This is off to a great start. Let's go. One more try. Today we're going to give our full review of the 2019 Woody Allen film, A Rainy Day in New York. City? Just New York?
I think it's just New York.
Correct. Liv, you've seen this twice now, right? Or like once and a half?
The first time was over a Zoom. Like, someone was filming with their camera over the FaceTime, you know? So it kind of cuts out and stuff. Then, yeah, you so and I watched it. Yeah. I don't know where to begin.
Well, I remember you telling me you watched this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you led with, like, I'd be interested to hear what your opinions are.
Yeah, because in one sense, this will definitely be spoilers also. Yeah. It's, like, trying to, it has some imitations of old, like, 20s, 30s movies, I would say. Like, kind of this romanticized version of like old New York City.
Right.
And in a way the character is actually trying to like live those days also. But then the director is also making that. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's kind of an interesting concept.
Yeah. So,
but it's like very, it has some like bigger named actors.
Yeah.
But it's shot like a very low budget movie.
Well,
which
it's
I think
probably
because
they spent all the budget on just the actors.
So it's just kind of anyway.
I mean,
so
it's Selena Gomez and Timothy Chalamet and Jude Law and what's the other guy?
Elle Fanning or whatever
right.
her name is.
Yeah, it's I think okay. So just kind of a brief like rundown of the movie, a kind of synopsis is there's this Elle Fanning. That's her name. Elle Fanning's character and Timothée Chalamet's character go to school at like upstate, some fancy school in upstate New York. And is it New York? Or is it just somewhere else?
I'm not sure.
It's some fancy like Ivy League school.
We don't see them there hardly at all. No, it's like one scene of them outside. So.
And so she has the opportunity to go to New York City to interview this like renowned like art
playwright
director. He's the movie director.
Oh,
right?
Movie. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and they're both like fans of his and whatnot. So he's like, awesome. We'll go spend a weekend there. Cause she's never been there. And he's originally from there. And he's like, I'll show you around and all these cool places. And he's naming like the fancy, hotel with like the lounge and there's like the jazz piano player in the corner. It's and like then they'll romantic. Go to like the museum and all these like very like, Liv was saying, old fashioned New York City romanticized sites and whatnot. And so to me, in a certain way, it kind of reminded me of Sebastian from La La Land.
Hmm.
And maybe this is why a big like turnoff for me from this movie was because I saw these scenes play out and I was like, I think this just played out better in La La Land. Mm. I think I connected to the character more in La La Land.
Yeah.
The
way that it was also, the dialogue was crafted felt like a lot of inner dialogue that was spoken. So, like, the way the cadence was is typically, like, you see that inner dialogue, and it's, like, a narrator in the background behind these person's thought, and they're just walking. But instead, you actually see the character saying them to each other, right. And so it seems really awkward.
Yeah.
Would you say, like...
Yes. It's like they took a lot of... interesting. Because, yeah, there is a lot of tell and not show. There's not a lot of actually, like, watching the characters do stuff. It's a lot of characters meet up for this scene and they talk for the entire scene. And then the other characters meet up for a different scene and they talk for all that scene.
It's a lot of, like, inner struggle with their motivations of, like, life and, like, what they're going through. But it's all through this, like, dialogue that's, like, really
None of it is actually through, like, watching the characters. Like, we were talking last week with Marge, like, where she said, you know, a great writer, a great director will... create the characters and then give them the room to go where they're gonna go. This didn't feel that way. This felt very like, it's not like a character did something and you were like, oh, that's unnatural because of what your character did before. No. It was just, I don't know who your character is. You're kind of just telling me who you are.
It's almost so cool.
It is.
It's almost like, this is a cool concept. I'm trying to think of how they could have done it.
Yeah.
Because,
well,
you talked about like, what's it called? Your favorite movie?
What's Up, Doc?
Yeah.
Yes.
And how that's like in the 70s, right?
I see What's Up, Doc is like an updated situational screwball comedy from the 30s that has been updated for the 70s.
And that dialogue is really unnatural. Like that, talk like that.
I've never heard anyone in my life talk like that, but it fits perfectly there because the entire tone is goofy and weird and I think one reason What's Up, Doc works is it has a very definite centralized character and that character has a very definite motivation. This movie has like two centralized characters.
Yeah.
And both of them have a very definite motivation, but one of them is able to accomplish that motivation over and over and over. Elle Fanning's character wants to interview the director and then go see the private screening of his movie and then go to the after party with him and all these things. And she just kind of, that keeps happening to her over and over and over. And he wants to spend a weekend with his girlfriend in New York City,
which is
Elle Fanning. Doesn't happen. So that's the thing is I think we spend too much time with her and all the actual like action set pieces happen in her storyline, not on his. And they like are there at the beginning and they do not cross paths again until the end after all the chaos has been resolved.
Like he doesn't even know what's happening.
Yeah.
But it's like we're treated because we saw it that he must know
right.
or something.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
And I think, again, to compare it to What's Up, Doc, I don't know. It's just, it's like if What's Up, Doc, and people don't know what we're talking about. Everyone go watch What's Up, Doc. And if you want to watch Rainy Day in New York, go for it, I guess. Where was it going with this? To compare it again to What's Up, Doc, it's like if there was Howard's story and Barbara Streisand's character was only in like two scenes and the beef of the movie was following Eunice and the jewelry lady.
Yeah, we're like following
the weird
thing. It's
just like, why are we following these characters?
And there's just like little storylines that come up with each of the characters. Like, so Timothy like interacts with his brother and his mom. And
right.
They come up with like new conflict or new like storylines that's like don't really get resolved, or they get resolved in like one scene. So it's like, what's the point of us going through that?
Why do we need that scene? Yeah, exactly.
And then we were, I was also like brought this up when we were talking before, was What's Up Doc takes place in this hotel.
Right.
So there's like a bunch of like, you know, they just missed each other or, and it, that's like the funny part of it all. Right.
Right.
Or like Eunice is upstairs. We know that she's upstairs while he's like in this hotel and he's like nervous that she's, this takes place in New York City and we don't even know the proximity of like, it's just, we're left kind of like in the open. So we come back to Elle's character and all of a sudden she's in this, you know, I don't know, a hotel or whatever interviewing. Right. And then all of a sudden she's in the car going to this other place to find the director because he ran away. And it's like, we don't know anywhere of where you're going.
Right.
And then all of a sudden Timothy's walking upstairs to his brother's house.
Right.
And it's like, where does he live?
Right.
Or it's just kind of, it's enough one of, those of a weird. Where
when it's in her storyline, New York City spans across like 8 states because, and the, it, they meet up at like 1 p.m. and it's like, you cannot, the movie happen? Supposedly takes place. The main beef of the story supposedly must take place over the course of like 12 hours or something. But there's no way that she's able to travel all around as much. Meanwhile, Timothy Chalamet's character, that version of New York City is like 4 city blocks
because
or something.
And then you see him like, he's all sad because his girlfriend isn't with him. Mm-hmm. And he's like in this lounge and it's like nighttime. And then he still goes to his mother's party afterwards.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and then I think there's even more after that.
How long are these nights?
So it's just kind of some inconsistency that if you don't, I feel like if you don't do well in a movie, it just makes the viewer like confused.
I think it's one of those things, to borrow from Kevin McCreary. He said that, in his opinion, the most important thing to really get right is the script, because it's the cheapest thing to actually work on in a movie.
Oh, interesting.
Once you're there on set, every minute is money. You're spending money every minute. Mm-hmm. Before that, you can, like, it still costs, obviously, and stuff in like high level productions. But like, the script is the thing that is the cheapest.
It's
to just
also
say
the fewest people.
Right.
To, like,
and
organize.
So a writer can take it and just give it to a friend for free and talk about it over dinner one night and say, hey, what do you think of this? Does this make sense? Is it consistent? Mm-hmm. Is it coherent?
Smaller.
And I mean, I just feel like it, you know, I'm sure that What's Up Doc Draft 3 could have looked very, very similar to what we got in A Rainy Day in New York. But mm-hmm. I just think that they kept going and said, well, that doesn't quite make sense. So how do we make it make more sense? Maybe What's Up Doc did take place over the course of like 8 locations over 4 days or something.
Yeah.
And they said, no, we can smush it down. Let's consolidate. You know, we don't need these extra characters. Or what if we write in this specific character for this specific thing and then we can make a joke that he keeps coming back in or whatever. Whereas this felt very, like the writer character, the director's like right-hand man is like, there in the beginning, like once he's introduced, he's there and you're like, okay, so he's going to be like another addition to the cast.
Right.
And then I thought the director was just going to be out of the movie. And now her story, because that's pretty early on where he like runs away and stuff and her and the writer are like trying to track him down. And I was like, okay, so that's like going to be their storyline, is trying to track down the director. Well, then the writer's gone after another like 10 minutes because he and his wife meet up. And
it's just not... It's just too many things. Again, they're trying to like imitate that, like
that like crazy high
where there
high
is
stakes.
A lot of things going on, which is good, but for some reason it doesn't work in this one.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's because they're trying to accomplish. They set out with two. I don't know.
I think they were going. Here's the weird thing too. I think they were going, once they actually got to filming at least, it sure seemed like they were going for tone over substance. Of, if we can make people feel like this is a modern retelling of these old rom-coms and screwball comedies from the 30s and 40s, then that'll be good enough.
And I mean, there are some good lines in there, like Timothy's character, like some cool, like...
And there are even some like actual jokes, like his brother and his wife, how he's annoyed by her laugh. But like, that's an example, like you said, where it's introduced and resolved within the same scene.
Yeah.
And has one callback like an hour later in the movie. So I think if it were introduced and then a few scenes go by and then it's brought up again and then a few scenes go by and then it's brought up again and then it slowly starts, you know, even it doesn't even have to get resolved necessarily. I'm not, because that's the thing is, it's not like these types of comedies have to have everything tied up in a neat bow. And I think in a way, the slowest part of What's Up Doc, which I think is one of the most like, perfectly paced movies is a scene in the courtroom where everything's getting tied up.
Yeah, but
But yeah. That's not why I love that movie. I love the movie for the whole first half, there, like, where you're just comedic, watching things.
Like, thing you learn is, like, don't you bring it up three times?
At
like,
least, yeah.
So yeah. There's just, like, a central thing that as humans, mm-hmm. like, we understand. And it would also be different. I could see if it was just Timothy's character and, like, he goes to his brothers and then his mom.
Yeah.
Like, if we see a movie like yeah. that where...
Where it's a more like that's a series of vignettes of like following a, him yeah. around. Yeah.
Where this, but because it's not like that, it doesn't mm-hmm. work well.
No. No. And that's, again, just to, I feel like I keep harping on this, but like all the main action happens with her character and she's not the main character. She's the one, spoiler alert, but it's not a spoiler if you know these kinds of movies, who he leaves at the end to go and be with Selena Gomez's character.
Yeah.
Because they met like twice. And that's the thing, even there, it's like, I'm not arguing about the realism of it necessarily, just the fact that they're him and Selena Gomez are supposed to be in love and they've crossed paths twice in this movie. They spent a total of like an hour together.
But in one sense, I feel like she almost has the most emotion in her character.
Yeah.
She's like the best actor in that movie in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's...
She's definitely the one with the most dynamic, the most actually like just seeing something happening yeah. in the entire movie is the scene where they meet up in the cab and then they go back to her apartment and while he's playing the piano and she's changing.
I was just gonna say
that's the scene where you're just seeing characters.
Yeah,
and that's the only scene where
and
you're just
see her emotion
them.
Of like her starting to fall in love with it.
Right,
like, you that's what you see. So
and that's the only scene where we just watch characters.
And that's one of my favorite ones. That's so interesting. Yeah. It was him playing the piano. I'm like, oh, it's so nice.
Mm-hmm. And then it cuts away from him. You can still tell what's going on with him because you can still hear him playing and singing. But now you're just watching her listen to him. And like you said, like starting to fall in love with him.
Yeah.
But that's like the last scene we see with her.
And then, yeah, just at the end when she decides to meet him by the clock that they talked about in the previous thing, which is like...
Which is then like three lines that they actually have at the very end. There's just not enough payoff because it's like, we all know what's going to happen. We all know that it's going to happen this way. And there's a way of doing that where, like, what's up, Doc? I think you know they're going to end up together, but there's that moment where you're like, oh, I guess not.
Yeah.
I guess not. And then you're like, there it is. But even there, the scene where they finally, it's like, okay, here's the payoff. There's enough of, like, a... They're not trying to psych you out one last time, but there is this last, like, banter between the two of them that you've seen from, like, the very beginning of the movie with the two of them.
But I feel like with that, with What's Up, Doc, you see, what's the main guy's name?
Howard.
You see him kind of go through a change.
Yeah.
Where with, he all of a sudden, Timothy's character, he's in this carriage with Elle Fanning's character and is like, never mind, I'm going to go fall in love with her and meet her by the bar. And you don't see like, you don't see him go through a emotion or a change. It's just kind of like, I guess I'm like this girl.
Right. And then that's the thing. Again, it's just like, the writers and directors were like, well, this is the point where he leaves her and goes to be with the girl. Okay, but you also have to set up early in the movie that he's thinking about leaving her and going to be with Selena Gomez. Like they do in What's Up, Doc, where you see from the beginning, like, Howard and Eunice are not happy together. They're not in love.
Which,
love
okay,
fades,
yeah.
Howard. What's the one?
Wrinkles off forever. Wait, what is it? What's the line?
You don't want to marry someone who's going to get wrinkled, lined, and flabby. Everyone gets wrinkled, lined, and flabby. By next week, you're going to walk up to her and say, Eunice, darling, I've been a cad, a fool, and I can't think of any way to apologize enough, but Judy and I have decided to put you into a home. That is not amusing. What's up, Doc? And then the one where Eunice is tying his bow tie, and she said something about, I don't remember how they get on the topic, but they're talking about being in love, and she goes, love, Howard, love fades. Love fades away, and something much more prominent takes its place. Do you know what that is? Yes, senility. No, respect. Respect. I was going to say that. Okay, What's Up, Doc? Great movie. Absolutely fantastic film. Where are we going?
I don't know. I guess it's interesting to watch these types of movies because you are hoping for the best. Like,
yeah.
I love like a retelling of a romantic story through like old movie because that's some of my favorite stuff. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's innocent. It's sweet. It's whatever.
There's jazz music. There's witty banter.
Yeah, exactly. But this one, I think they just tried to pack too much into an hour and 15 minutes.
And I think they also tried to fit a lot of 2020 or whatever, 2019 humor and the style, and with these specific people, the way that they interpreted that, it's like this weird meld of like 21st century humor and 30s, 40s humor. And the way that the actors interpreted it was, let's just be really dry and monotone.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like they overacted.
Yeah.
Where like Howard, I can't picture it. Like he was Howard.
Right. And he was really dry and apathetic and monotone. Whereas she was super over the top and goofy. And
but at the same time, I haven't seen them in anything else. I haven't seen the actors do an interview where I have seen these actors
in other
talk
things.
And be in other things in interview. So maybe that's part of
and
it.
And you have seen them do well in other roles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Little Women? New one?
Is Elle Fanning in that?
No, Timothée Chalamet. Yeah. He plays, whatever his name is.
Montalegre?
What is his name?
I think it's Montalegre.
No.
Are you sure? I think it's Laurie, right?
Laurie. Yeah.
Laurie Montalegre.
I used to love that book.
I'm sorry, but now you hate it.
No, I do love it. Oh. Who do you relate to more?
Of the Little Women?
Amy, Joe, Beth, or... shoot, what's the oldest one? Meg.
Beth is the oldest.
Meg.
Definitely not Meg.
Meg's the oldest.
She's the one who gets married right away. Is she married at the beginning?
No, not right away. I mean,
but she
read the
book?
They're like kids, and then, yeah.
No, yeah. But
yeah,
she's the first one to get married.
It goes Meg, Beth, Joe, Amy.
Does Joe die? Or does Joe get married at any point?
I forget how the book goes.
I think I kind of...
She's the one that's like, her and Lori kind of like each other and grow up like...
Joe and Lori?
And then Lori ends up marrying Amy, her younger sister. She kind of regrets it, but then it's all good because he's in the family. I don't know.
One of those weird...
No,
just because he's in the family?
No, that's not what I mean. It's not like a Skylar sister situation. it's sweet, I think. Beth's the one who dies.
No, yeah. Not Beth. I guess Joe by default.
She's a beautiful pianist, and she would go over to the next door neighbor and play the piano because his daughter died and used to play piano too.
Hmm.
I'd want
to. Now
be
she
her.
Died and also played piano. Yeah. So really just making her neighbor go through the heartbreak all over
Definitely
again.
Definitely not Amy.
No, I mean, I feel like it's just Joe by default.
Yeah.
I don't think I particularly like any of them. Sorry. Sorry.
Just kidding. That's okay. Okay. That was a rabbit trail.
Yeah.
Well, we did say it would be short.
Yeah. Do you have anything else to say about Rainy Day in New York? It's weird because we kind of debated about doing this, but we felt like, I feel like I wanted to share my thoughts publicly with y'all because... It's right there, like Liv is saying. There's a lot of there where we're like, oh, I want to like this. I see where you're going. I see how this could work. But it just doesn't quite.
Because a lot of times in new, like, romantic comedies these days, the dialogue is so just boring and plain. So it was kind of refreshing to be like, oh, they're using, like, big words and, like, talking about art and the mean, you know, and things that they love. So that part I enjoy. I thought it was cool.
Right. But it felt like a lot of,
story
like.
Story itself.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the dialogue, even that where they were having like loftier conversations, or like in the hands of a better writer, this would be a good scene, felt very like first paragraph of Wikipedia on this particular topic.
Yeah, it's kind of forced.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where like you get some of that witty banter like from La La Land.
Yes, and also there
we always go back to La La Land.
It's a lot of. La La Land is, I think, a better representation of those types of movies than, I mean, it's a slightly different type of movie.
But you don't get to see...
You see the characters. You see her go through that montage of auditions.
Montage.
And get angry and go back into her car and she's grumpy and she's driving and she look and silence, just her. She's driving. She looks up at the sign at the theater and remembers, oh, I get to go see the movie with him tonight. Yeah. And that's completely... Without dialogue. That's without any internal expression. That's just watching
her. When you see the planetarium scene, does that throw you out of the movie because it's unrealistic?
No.
No. Which is like, I do not know how they do that. Because I think I would be one who would like normally be like, oh.
Now, if there were no song and dance numbers up to that point,
there we go.
Then maybe, yeah, that would throw me out. But because it has set us up into this fantasy world, we've talked about La La Land like the last three or four episodes.
Man. We're due for
we got to just watch it again. We haven't seen it in a minute. It's a great movie.
I haven't seen it. The colors. It's just so well done.
The tone.
Did they win?
What? They didn't win Best Picture. I think City of Stars won Best Song. that was the year where they said that they had won, and then it was the wrong one.
Yeah. Did they get? Did he get best director or something?
He might have. I think he was Chazelle? Nominated. Yeah. They were nominated for a bunch.
Anyway, sorry. Would you ever want to host an award show and be like, the winner is? I feel like you'd be really good at it.
Thanks. I'd want to do it like Ricky Gervais did.
What?
Did you ever watch that?
No.
He hosted the Golden Globes, I think, 2020. And he'd hosted it many times before, but this was like his last time. So he just sang all these like unfiltered things and was like, I know they could get me fired, but I don't care. It's my last time. I'm not. And yeah. So he was just making all these jokes and just poking fun at everyone. It was pretty, pretty well done.
That's funny.
Here was a short clip from The Irishman that is 19 minutes long. Funny, because The Irishman is very long.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd ever want to watch that movie. I want to watch Casablanca.
Me too. Hey, you haven't seen it?
I have seen it, but I've never like watched it all the way through. That was one of those movies that my family would put on, and I know the first like 20-30 minutes pretty well, mm-hmm. but then I'd fall asleep,
yeah.
and then I'd wake up again later on, and I'd see another little bit, and it was It was a very popular movie in my family,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was one where if on the DVD that we had. If you'd leave it on, it would like the credits would finish rolling and go back to the menu, and then it would like play through the theme song, and then it would start playing the movie again automatically.
Oh, okay.
So it could like play all the way through the night.
You did
basically.
Oh,
I mean, no, that's what I'm saying is I'd wake up and I'd be like, oh, there's that clip again. And I was like, oh, I think I've seen that before. Anyway, I haven't actually sat down and watched the movie before.
Maybe we should do that sometime.
Okay.
I haven't seen an old movie for a while, to be honest.
There's some good ones.
I need to do that.
It happened
summertime
one night.
In like
yeah.
lovely old
yeah.
20s movies and stuff. It's so fun.
Yeah, there's some good ones for sure.
It Happened One Night.
It Happened One Night is such a good movie. Isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's the one.
Clark Gable and
yeah.
Claudette Colbert.
It's good.
Such a good movie.
I also love Shop Around the Corner. Such a good
movie. We watched that. That's a good movie.
It's kind of a winter movie, though.
Yeah, that's a good movie. That was well done.
I felt surprised that like. You hadn't seen it. I felt like kind of proud of like it's a black and white movie.
Have you seen
with
a Jimmy Stewart movie?
Jimmy Stewart, and you have not seen it, and it's really good.
It is a good
because
movie.
Because it's the classic kind of Benedict and Beatrice.
Yeah,
Much Ado. It's like mm-hmm. we hate each other for petty
but
reasons,
but we fall in love.
But we fall in love on accident. And it's just so nice. So
it's a good scene. The only part that threw me through the loop was the very very end where they had the callback to earlier on.
The lake thing.
Yeah, and I was like, no, I think we
took
got
you out
it. And I was just a little like, why do you have to stop everything? Show us that you're wearing those socks. And now you finally like kiss. Like you could have, I just feel like you could have said that same line, but then kissed right away. And I've been like, oh, that was a sweet callback.
Yeah.
You know, like the end of It Happened One Night. Like It Happened One Night. Such a good movie. I want to do that as a play so bad.
Oh, man.
Wouldn't that be fun?
You wouldn't even have to have that big a cast.
No.
You just had a really cool set.
Yeah. And I have ideas.
As a play, you say?
Yeah. So you know how they, in the cabin, they're like on the two beds, right?
Yeah.
And they always string up the curtain. Mm-hmm. So you have the like that, the like cabin set on this little like circular spinny thing.
Okay.
So that's like the two beds are both facing the audience.
Okay.
And then he strings up the sheet and then it starts to spin a little bit. And then by the time it spun around, like she's changed into her pajamas and stuff.
There you
and
go.
Then it spins back and now he's changed in and then it stays again. And then the scene ends with them, the two of them in the pajamas, like in their separate beds.
Yeah.
And the curtain there and all that.
Oh, that's perfect.
And then that happens. I feel like the set's like really, really easy. You have like a bus set. I mean, I was originally picturing it.
I mean, the way the movie's filmed sets you up for that really well.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of transition, like walking off trains or like buses or.
No.
Like you can just have bus,
mm-hmm.
hay, loft.
Right.
The cabins, the road.
Yeah.
You don't need that. A
you
car,
really
I guess.
Need
like
that
you need
much.
The gas, that gas station or whatever, but that's like really diner or whatever.
Yeah.
That is.
I mean, I feel, and then there's also, I think there's some rewrites that can be done.
Yeah. I was going to say there's
change the location slightly,
but you don't need like that many. You could almost have three characters and the one person does
might.
Like a bunch of them. But
I mean, I was thinking, yeah, I think you'd probably have.
You want more than that, but I'm just
probably
saying.
Probably like 8 or 10.
Yeah.
Probably eight
and then
is
like
probably the lowest
20 crew people. No.
Yeah.
Turning that.
It'd be so much fun. That'd just be such a good show.
Can I be her?
If you can, we'll have auditions. Cool. Well, hope you guys liked this episode.
We had fun.
We had fun. Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next time.
For a brand new episode of
Between Takes.
You ever heard people be like, an all new episode? I wonder if there's, if at one point there was people like partially new, but there's a good amount of old.
Completely
still.
Old.
Yeah.
Episode.
We're okay. Just going to copy and paste. We're just going to play the Good Morning Bedlam one again.